Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra, especially this morning as we are watching what's going on in Rafiach. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And yesterday we met Ezra, finally, as Ezra is ready to ascend to Israel from Bavel. And what I want to do this morning is to complete the description of Ezra himself and to see the timing of when he arrives in Israel, which is really remarkable, and possibly get to the relationship between Ezra and Aharon, the original Kohen. So, Pasuk Vav, sentence 6, described Ezra as, hang on one second, Hu Ezra Alami Bavel, he is Ezra, this person whose lineage we just listed, he is Ezra, Alami Bavel, he ascended from Bavel, Vehu Sofer Mahir Betaras Moshe Ashanasan Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He was a Sofer Mahir, an agile or quick scribe would be one way to translate that, in the Torah of Moshe that Hashem, God of Israel, gave. Is he actually a scribe? Is that what the word sofer means? So we've already quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, that positions him, yes, as a scribe. It has him fixing up the Sifrei Torah that they had to make sure that they're all accurate. It has him responsible for the change of the text, the alphabet that they're using to write down Hebrew words. So, you know, that certainly views him as literally a scribe. That's what sofer would mean. Mitzudat Zion, Rav David Altshuler, here in Ezra, as well as in Nehemiah chapter 8, offers a different explanation. The word sofer meaning chacham, meaning sage. You find that in the Gemara in a few places. If you look at Brachos Memhei Amud Beis, if you look at Chulin Kuvav, sofer could mean Talmud Chacham. Professor Zir Kavod in the Dat Mikra has sofer as a teacher along the same lines. He quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 27, sentence 32. You find this in Ibn Ezra, here, chapter 7, sentence 12. It seems to be a popular idea that sofer means somebody who is learned, is a sage, perhaps a teacher, and so that's a second approach. The Malbim offers a third idea that sofer is from lispor, to count. The idea is that he counts the words of the mitzvos of Hashem, as the Malbim puts it. He counts the letters, part of his role as a guardian and record keeper of the Mesorah, of our traditions. That's a third approach to sofer. And of course, we noted earlier, Encyclopedia Mikra'it, being open to the idea that Ezra had some kind of a royal scribal position. But as he notes, we don't have any reference to any official position for Ezra with the king, prior to this at all. Not to mention, it says he is the sofer of, specifically, the Torah of Hashem. So, yeah, it's a little hard to read that in. But at least three reasonable explanations for a sofer. And as we said yesterday, the king gave him kiyad Hashem elokav alav, according to the hand of God upon him, meaning Hashem is influencing the king. And that's a theme we've already seen before in this book. And it's one that we're going to come back to further along in this chapter as well. It's a very much a theme that is in keeping with the message of Ezra personally, that he is somebody who believes very much that Hashem is guiding him and enabling him every step of the way. Okay, this story again, Ezra's arrival, is either happening right after the Beis HaMikdash is completed, if we say that the King Artaxasta, who we're going to mention right now, is Darius, or alternatively, it's actually decades later, the time of Artaxerxes I. So the text says, Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7, Vayalu mibnei Yisrael min ha-Kohanim v'ha-Leviyim v'ha-Mashaarim v'ha-Shaarim v'ha-Nesinim el Yerushalayim. The Jews, including Kohanim, Leviyim, singers and gatekeepers, who we said already may be members of the tribe of Levi, of Shevet Levi, that was Rashi's comment back in chapter 2, all of them, as well as Nesinim, the people who do the work for the Beis HaMikdash, they all come to Yerushalayim, Bishnas Sheva L'Artaxasta HaMelech, in the seventh year of King Artaxasta. It does not tell us how many there are. There will be a census in chapter 8, and Professor Zer Kavod in the Dot Mikra is going to count that list and say you've got about 1,800 men in that list. He is going to suggest, based on work by the historian Salo Baron, that you should multiply those numbers by 5 to get the numbers of the families. I don't know. Sounds nice. For a total of about 9,000 coming with Ezra. I have no way to corroborate, disagree, agree, whatever it is. But we're told that this group, which may be a group of 9,000, comes to Yerushalayim. And here's an interesting thing. When do they arrive? Pasuk Ches, sentence 8. Vayavo Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha-chamishi, hi shnas ha-shvi'is lamelech. They come to Yerushalayim in the fifth month. It is the seventh year of the king. Malbim has some discussion about the multiple references to the seventh year. I'm not going to go into that right now. But they arrive in the month of Av. Why is that so significant? Well, first of all, because there's an obvious symbolism here. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Av. It is a time of avelos and grief. Remember that in Zechariah we find the Jews in Bavel saying, should we be celebrating? Has this been rebuilt? Is this whole return to Israel legitimate? So Ezra is arriving in the month of Av, turning that grief into joy as thousands of Jews now arrive with this leader, Ezra. In fact, Professor Zer Kavod, I think it is, who suggests that Ezra left Israel in Nisan, the beginning of Nisan, we're going to see that in sentence 9, and he arrives in Av. He suggests that Ezra deliberately slowed his trip. He didn't need that whole length of time in order to arrive in Israel, but he wants to arrive in Av for the sake of this symbolism. So just to complete the journey here, sentence 9 says, Ki be'echad ha-chodesh harishon, on the first day of the first month, the month of Nisan, Hu Yesud Hama'alami Bavel, that was the establishment of their ascent from Bavel, meaning that's when they started to travel. Ube'echad ha-chodesh ha-chamishi, Baal Yerushalayim, and on the first day of the fifth month, they arrived in Jerusalem, Kiyad Elokav Hatova Olav. Once again, stressing, it's because of the hand of God helping with this journey. So they left on the first of Nisan, they arrive on the first of Av. So, one thing that I want to make sure to note, because you can't miss that, of course, the first of Nisan, when they leave Mitzrayim, right? When Moshe gives the instructions for the Karban Pesach and tells the Jews that they're going to leave on the 15th of Nisan, and they arrive on the first day of Av, which, as we said, is a time of grief. But there's something else that you have to remember, and that is the first of Av and the first of Nisan are yahrzeits, and they're very important yahrzeits. The first of Nisan is the yahrzeit of Aharon's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, who died when they brought the incense inappropriately in the Mishkan. The first of Av is the yahrzeit of Aharon himself. So here you get a very interesting comment from the Chida in his Chomat Anach. The Chida brings a tradition that Ezra is a Gilgal. He is a reincarnation of Aharon, the original Kohen Gadol, and Eli. Eli, remember, is the Kohen Gadol at the time when Chana comes to the Mishkan and davens for his son and ends up getting Shmuel. Eli has two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. Eli is a shofet. He is one of the last of the shoftim, leaders of the Jews. Shmuel will be the last. Shmuel is his successor. Eli leads the Jews for decades. He himself is considered very righteous. He passes away at the age of 98. When the Jews lose a war to the Plishtim and word comes back to him and they learn that the Aron has been lost. But most relevant in our story is that Eli has two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, and as Eli ages, his sons take over the running of the Mishkan and they abuse their power in ways that are described in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Eli is criticized for the fact that he does not keep his sons Chofni and Pinchas in line, and in the end Shmuel brings him a message from God saying that his family line is going to be destroyed because of what his sons did to the Mishkan. So the Chida quotes from the Ari, And he says the demolition of Eli's family, which plays out throughout Shmuel, throughout Sefer Shmuel, the demolition of Eli's family is the punishment for Aharon for the Egel, for the golden calf. Ezra finishes Aharon's task of bringing the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, bringing the Jews into the land. We think about Moshe's task of bringing the Jews into the land, but the way the Chida says it, quoting the Ari, Ezra is finishing Aharon's task, and he suggests that Ezra is actually a Gilgul, a reincarnation of both Aharon and Aharon's descendant, Eli. He arrives in Yerushalayim on Aharon's yard site. He left Bavel on the yard site of Aharon's sons. He taught the Torah of Moshe, which is something that Aharon did as well, Aharon being Moshe's messenger to the people at times. And there's a play on words here, because if you go back to the end of the lineage, it said, after listing, he's the son of this one, who's the son of that one, who's the son of that one, who's the son of that one. Ben Avishua, this is now sentence 5, Ben Avishua, Ben Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aharon, HaKohen, Harosh. He is the son of Pinchas, Ben Elazar, son of Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, who Ezra, Alami Bavel, he was Ezra who came out of Bavel, and so on. So the Chida says, you could read that as the son of Aharon, HaKohen, Harosh, who Ezra. He is the son of Aharon the Kohen Gadol. This is Ezra. So so that's the suggestion that potentially Ezra is a reincarnation of Aharon. Certainly in terms of his leadership he is. Whether he is, in terms of his soul being Aharon's soul, I leave that to those who understand reincarnation. But that's the Chida's comment. So here is Ezra arriving in Israel with this great fanfare, with this great calendar symbolism. He is the sofer, which makes him perhaps a scribe, perhaps a teacher, perhaps a guardian of the Masorah. And what we will find is, starting with sentence 10, what Ezra's mission is and what King Artaxasta, the Persian king, has empowered him to do.